Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning, thanking thee, O God, for thy goodness which has brought us here once again. And I pray, O God, that as we worship thee this morning, I pray that we would be inspired to know thee more closely, to know thee better than ever. I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here. I pray that we would all feel thy presence, and I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us this day to give thee our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here today would be done according to thy perfect will, thy perfect plan. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we are going to start with number 324 this morning. I Surrender All, number 324. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His service daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. My blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee, fill me with thy love and power. Let let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Jesus, I surrender now. I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. To go too far for this next song, we're going to sing number 323, Just As I Am, number 323. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. find sight wretches healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a wonderful thing that we can come to our Savior. Praise God. We come as we are, but He changes us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And this next song we're going to turn to is number 150. And I actually dreamt about this song the other day. So I thought it would be a good thing to sing it. Number 150, Room at the Cross for You. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found Him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have
still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. And, you know, considering the chapter we're going to be looking at a little bit later today, it seems appropriate to turn to number 181 and sing The Healer, number 181.
In great sorrow he died, the giver of life was he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected of men, this Jesus of Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore all our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Price for healing was paid as those cruel stripes were made within Pilate's judgment hall. Now his suffering affords perfect healing for all. This wonderful healer's mine. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore all our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Came the leper to Christ, saying, surely I know that thou, Lord, canst make me whole. When his great faith was seen, Jesus said, yes, I will, and touched him and made him clean. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed. He has sealed my sick soul, made me every whit whole, and healed. Yesterday and today and forever, this healer of men today. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely He bore all our sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely He bore all our sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we have a Savior who heals? You know, some people don't believe that, and I don't know how they cope. Praise God. It's so wonderful to know our Savior and all that He can do for us. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up our collection now. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir.
Praise
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here and kept us here and provided for all our needs. For we know, O God, that Thou art the great provider, and we know that we would be helpless and lost without Thee. So we are so thankful for all that Thou hast done. We are thankful for Thy power. We are thankful for Thy strength. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct this ministry in all things. Help us to be ever mindful of Thee, ever faithful to Thee, to always do Thy will. And we pray, O God, for Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. And we pray, O God, that Thou bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song. Well, actually, before we do that, we have a couple of things that we should pray about. And I did get a message from Jenny yesterday. And Joe's dad, of course, his name is Jim, and he has lung cancer, and that's hard to deal with, but it's gotten a little bit harder to deal with because he recently broke his arm, and he's in a nursing home right now for the next 30 days and they're rehabbing that, so he needs prayer. And of course, the cancer is still there, and he needs prayer about that too. And most importantly, he needs prayer that he would turn to Jesus, so we're going to pray about that. And I know that Carla mentioned before the service that Jenny was planning to come today, but she's a little bit under the weather, so we're going to pray for her too and ask God to touch her and strengthen her. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of Jim, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and talk to his soul. I pray, O God, that thou would do a work in his life. I pray that he would reach out to thee. For we know, O God, that thou art the healer and the deliverer. We know that thou can do all things, but we know that we must reach out to thee in faith to receive thy blessings and to receive thy healings. We pray, O God, that his heart would be changed. We pray, O God, that thou would speak to his soul. We ask, O God, that he would put his faith and his trust and his hope in thee. For we know, O God, that this is a very serious situation, but we know that thou can resolve all things, that thou can heal all sicknesses, and we believe in thee, we trust in thee, and we pray, O God, for Jim right now. We pray that, O God, that he would trust thee completely, that he would look to thee as the author and finisher of his faith. And I pray, Lord, that thou would help him with his rehab, that he would be strengthened by thee for a quick recovery. And we pray about this cancer, Lord, that if it be thy will, that thou would just remove it completely. And we ask, O God, for the doctors, that thou would guide their hands, guide their minds, help them to know how to proceed in each and every detail and in each and everything. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Jenny, praying, O God, that thou would help her with whatever this sickness is. We pray that she would recover quickly, that thou would strengthen her and help her mightily. We ask, O God, for thy blessing to be upon her. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also pray for Joe. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen him, for we know that this is a very, very tough thing to deal with. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen him and help him, O God, to embrace thee, to fully put his faith and his trust in thee. Help him, O God, to believe on thee, for we know, O God, that thou can do all things and that thou can do all things well. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word this morning. We're going to number 272, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And grace will lead.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Glory to God, and I am so thankful for His grace. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And we have another prayer request here. This is for Tori. And the request is that she be given strength and God's comfort. So we're going to pray for Tori right now. Father in heaven, we bring our dear sister Tori before Thee, and we pray, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven. We pray that Thy hand would be upon her. We pray, O God, that Thou would give her great comfort and great strength. For we know, O God, that our comfort and all our strength comes from Thee. We believe on Thee, Lord. And we pray, O God, that Tori would reach out to Thee and put her complete faith and trust in Thee. For we know, O God, that Thou can mend even every broken heart and anything that is wrong. And we pray, O God, that Thou would touch Tori right now. We pray that she would reach out to Thee in faith, believing on Thee. Fill her with Thy joy. Fill her with Thy presence, we pray. And let Thy Spirit be upon her. We pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon her. Guide her, direct her. For we know, O God, that Thy Spirit is the Comforter. We ask, O God, for Thy blessing to be on Tori right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. It is time for us to go into Scripture. Praise the Lord. And it's always a wonderful thing to have this opportunity. We have been in the book of John for quite some time. This is part 8 of our series. We're going to be going to John chapter 9 in just a moment. But before we go there, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah first. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 35. And Jesus, when He came here, it was God robed in flesh, but He came to seek and to save the lost. And He came as the Savior, the Healer, the Deliverer. He came and He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. He healed the lepers. He cast out devils. Oh, He worked so many mighty miracles. And you know what He did, what He came to do, He came to seek and to save, that was prophesied of many, 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 many years before He came. In fact, if you read the book of Isaiah all the way through, you're going to find so many prophecies in this book regarding Jesus Christ. It is the theme of Isaiah. Jesus Christ is the theme. And He came to open the eyes of the blind. He came as the light of the world. Only the light of the world can open the eyes of the blind. He gives us that light. That light dwells inside us. His Spirit, His Holy Ghost, dwells inside us. This was something that was promised to us long ago. In fact, this is what Isaiah chapter 35 is all about. We are going to read Isaiah 35 in just a moment, but before we do that, we are going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for this blessed book that Thou hast set before us. And I pray, O God, that as we look upon this book, I pray that Thy light would shine brightly. I pray, O God, that Thou would reveal Thyself to us. I pray, O God, that Thou would help us to reach out to Thee, to put our faith, our trust in Thee, to be obedient to Thee and Thy call and all that Thou would have us to do. We pray, O God, for Thy guidance as we look upon Thy blessed Scripture. Give us the spirit of understanding and Thy spirit of discernment. For we know, O God, that we can only understand and comprehend anything by Thy mercy and Thy grace. We ask for Thy help. I pray, O God, that Thou would help us all to be firmly fixed upon Thee as we look upon these scriptures. Let our minds be firmly focused on Thee. Do a work in our hearts, do a work in our minds, do a work in our souls, we pray. And I pray, O God, that there would be no hindrances here this morning. We pray that Thy Spirit would have free course. We bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering thing that would come against us here today. We firmly put our hope and our trust in Thee, and we know, O God, that Thy Word is precious. So we pray, O God, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 35, and this is an exciting chapter. It's a short chapter, but it's very exciting. It tells us in Isaiah 35, verse 1, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." And when Jesus Christ came here, those who saw Him saw the glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord, the light of the world. Sadly, not everyone could comprehend it. In fact, many could not. But there were some who could see. There were some who understood what they were beholding and knew who Jesus was and who Jesus still is today. You know, Jesus Christ is still alive, always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He is alive forevermore, and nothing or no one is ever going to change that. But verse 3 tells us, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." And you know, Jesus Christ did come with vengeance. He came with vengeance to defeat the devil. And that's what He did when He went to that cross. He defeated Satan. And that's what He came to do. He came to save us. He will come and save you. Verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." You know, this isn't talking about a physical, earthly kind of wilderness. This is talking about a world where Jesus came, where there had been no prophet for 400 years, where the people had heard nothing from God for 400 years, and suddenly Jesus was there, and He came to that spiritual wilderness, that spiritual desert, and His Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, was poured out after He went to that cross. It was just a short time later when His Spirit was poured out, His waters, His living waters, broke out, and there were streams in the desert. Verse 7 tells us, "And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Oh, there is a special way, a special road, a special highway of holiness, and it is for God's people. And it is that straight and narrow way. And we walk along that straight and narrow way, following our Savior with great joy. But you know, most of the world, they're on that Broadway that leads to destruction. They're going the wrong way. That doesn't have to be us. We can be on that highway of holiness. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 tells us, "No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise the Lord. You see, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to open the eyes of the blind, to open the ears of the deaf, to cleanse the unclean, to heal the sick. And he doesn't just open physical eyes and cure physical blindness, but he opens the eyes of his people. That's what the light of the world does. Praise the Lord. And he opens the ears of the people so that we can understand and comprehend his word and what he is speaking to us, what he is saying to us. That's what Jesus came to do. And that was prophesied of long ago, all the way back in the book of Isaiah and throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But again, in Isaiah, you will find prophecy after prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. Now, you read this chapter and you read about how the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, how the lame man will leap. Oh yes, that sounds like what Jesus Christ did, doesn't it? We're going to go now to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And this is such an exciting story. I've always loved this chapter. Of course, you know, I love the whole Word of God. And I'll often say, well, this chapter is my favorite. And I guess they kind of all are, but praise the Lord. But you'll notice sometimes that specific chapters, they'll jump out at you at specific times, and they'll really do a work in your heart. Now, this should be an inspiring chapter because Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. He came to heal the sick. He came to cleanse our souls. He came to save us. John chapter 9, verse 1 tells us, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth." Now try to imagine that. It's hard to do because we have eyes and we can see. But this man, he had never seen anything. He was blind from birth. He had never seen the beautiful things that God has created. He never saw the beautiful flowers, the beautiful trees, the beautiful sunsets, the beautiful animals. He'd never looked upon another person. He had never seen the mountains or the valleys or anything. And that's quite a thought. It's quite something that's difficult to fathom. But this man had never seen anything. But then Jesus comes along and he is going to touch this man and heal this man. And that's something that he can do for all of us. Verse 2 tells us, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now people tend to be very judgmental. And when someone is suffering from an illness, a lot of times people must think, oh, that person must be a reprehensible sinner. They must have done all kinds of wrong things in their lives. And you know, sometimes sin does cause illness. That does happen sometimes. And you know, well, even doctors will say that stress causes illness and sin causes stress, that's for sure. And we do know that in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God tells us, and it tells us, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now that's a wonderful promise too. He is our healer. But people misinterpret that verse sometimes. They look at that and they think, well, because of that verse, it means if anybody's ever sick, they must have committed some sin. That's not always the case. Like I said, sometimes sin does cause sickness, but not in every case. And we will see that in John chapter 9. But there was an assumption here, even from his disciples, that this man must have done something awful, or perhaps his parents. Perhaps his parents had done something awful, and because of that, this boy was born blind. But you know what? We do not bear the sins and the iniquities of our fathers, of our ancestors. That is not scriptural. In fact, if you ever read Ezekiel chapter 18, you will see that is the case. We are all responsible for our own actions.
That's right. Amen.
There is personal accountability.
That's right.
So the sins of our fathers aren't going to cause these punishments. There was a presumption here. But Jesus is going to clear this up very quickly. Verse 3 tells us, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now this doesn't mean that this man had never committed a sin or that his parents had never committed a sin, but what it means is that their sins did not cause this blindness. It did not cause this illness to befall this man. And God had planned to use this from the beginning, for his glory, to show the people that yes, Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the light of the world who can open our eyes.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Verse 4 tells us, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He says it again, and we looked at that extensively last week. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And that light, when that light comes upon us, it reveals to us not only who God is, but it reveals to us our own sinful nature. That light brings us to our knees. That light reveals our own sins to us, and we cry out to the Savior. You know, some people might ask, okay, well, you said that in some cases sins can cause illnesses. Well, how do I know if my illness is caused by a sin? Well, I tell you what, there's something you can do. Repent of your sins, if you have any. And if that particular illness is caused by sins, you'll find that when you repent, that illness also goes. In fact, remember the story in John chapter 5 when the man at the pool of Bethesda was healed by Jesus? He was lame, he couldn't walk. What did Jesus say to him in chapter 5? "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." But if you repent of your sins, those sins are gone, they're washed away, and you don't have to worry about those sins causing illness upon you. And it's also interesting in the story of Mark chapter 2, when Jesus healed that man who came to him, what was the first thing Jesus said? They had ripped the roof apart. There was a crowd there. They couldn't get in the building. They had ripped the roof apart and lowered him down by the roof. And what did Jesus say? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." His sins were forgiven first because he could see the heart of this man. He could see that this man had repented. And those sins which had plagued him, they weren't going to cause that illness anymore. And you know, in James chapter 5, we are given instructions on how the church should operate. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 tell us, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." So yes, sins can cause illness. But God has promised to heal us, and when we repent of those sins, the illnesses, you'll find, they go too, if they are specifically caused by sins. Now, as we see in this chapter, not every sickness and illness is caused by sin, but this was a case here where this was actually done for the glory of God. But Jesus is the light of the world. And verse 6 tells us, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now people might read that and think, well, that's not very glamorous. Jesus took his spit and made spittle and put it on this man's eyes. Well, I tell you what, Jesus can spit on me any day. Praise God. His spit has healing properties. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing.
Yes.
So Jesus made that clay. He anointed this man's eyes and he told him, go to the pool of Siloam. And he did it obediently. He didn't hesitate, but he went and he obeyed. And you know what? He came up out of that water, after cleansing his eyes, he came up seeing. Praise the Lord. Verse 8 tells us, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Oh yes, they knew this man. He had been there a long time. He was born blind. He had never seen anything. And can you imagine the joy that this man must have felt as he saw for the very first time? And it's amazing too that he was so easily acclimated to seeing. That's a miracle in and of itself. That his eyes and his mind functioned perfectly. You know, if you're born blind and by some miracle you receive your sight, and sometimes they are able to do surgery nowadays on people and cure their blindness, but when they do that, there's a learning curve. They don't have depth perception. They don't understand distances of objects and how to see. But this man, quite apparently, had that capability immediately. That's another miracle. But they knew this man. He had been there a long time. They recognized this man. Is not this he that sat and begged, it tells us in verse 8? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like them. But he said, I am he. So some said, yes, we know this man. We know this is the one who was born blind, who couldn't see anything. And others said, no, it couldn't possibly be him. This must just be a man who looks like him. But no, he confirmed it. I am he. I am the one. Verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Isn't it amazing how so often Jesus would do something wonderful? This was certainly not the first time he had healed a blind man, nor was this the first time he had done a healing or performed a miracle on the Sabbath day. But isn't it amazing how these Jewish people, these Pharisees, these scribes, the Sadducees, all of these religious elite would try to make people feel guilty for receiving a miracle on the Sabbath day? But Jesus specifically said that it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he is our Sabbath anyway. It's not just a day on the calendar, but he is our rest. He is Lord of the Sabbath.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But we're going to see that they were upset because this was done on the Sabbath day. Verse 13 tells us, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Praise God. So simple. And oftentimes we only are asked to do simple things to receive miracles from God. We're only asked to obey the Lord and to put our faith and our trust in Him. We're not asked to go out and do powerful feats, to climb Mount Everest. We don't have to do things like that. But this was so simple and so beautiful. And this man, who had never seen before, now could see. And yet we see, once again, that the Pharisees are upset about this. Verse 16 tells us, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. You know what? There are a whole bunch of people today who say that same thing. People who say that if you do not sit like a bump on a log from sundown Friday evening until sundown Saturday evening, that you're not of God because you're not keeping the Sabbath day. But we know that our own works don't save us. So whether you keep that day or not, and you're welcome to do so if you want to. It's good to have a day off. It's wise. But it won't save your soul. Our works don't save our souls. There's no rituals we can do that will save our souls. There's no days we can keep, no feasts we can keep that will save our souls. Our salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. We cannot save ourselves. So if people tell you that you have to keep the Sabbath day, they're telling you that your own works are going to save you. And that is simply not the case. But here we see this accusation is levied against Jesus. This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Now we know that Jesus was not a sinner. He had never committed any sins. He's the only man who ever lived who never did. And yet these Pharisees thought he was. They accused him and his disciples of being sinners because they didn't ritualistically wash their hands before eating. They had all kinds of accusations against Jesus and his disciples, but Jesus was certainly not a sinner. Now, we've seen in the previous chapters we've looked at that throughout this time that he was at Jerusalem, there was a lot of talk, a lot of arguing about Jesus Christ. In fact, when he went to that Feast of Tabernacles and he was dwelling in his little booth, I'm sure he was just sitting there listening to everybody talk about him, as they all dwelled in their little booths. And there was a dispute among the people, a division among the people regarding Jesus. Some thought this man is a prophet. Some even believed that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And only God can reveal that to people. So if you have that understanding, that came from God. But there were others who said, there's no way this man can be of God, because he's breaking the Sabbath day. So there's this huge division, a huge argument amongst the people. And verse 17 tells us, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. This man who had been healed miraculously by God, he understood that Jesus Christ was a prophet, a miracle worker. He didn't fully understand who Jesus Christ was and who Jesus Christ is, but he was going to find out. Because Jesus was going to come back for him. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad Jesus came back for you? Came to find you, sought you out.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They just couldn't believe that this man could be healed of a lifelong illness like blindness. And sadly, there are so many people today who just can't believe that God can heal a lifelong illness. But he can. And he will if we just learn to trust him. Learn to put our faith in him. To believe on him with nothing wavering. But they brought this man before his parents, this man who had miraculously received his sight. Verse 19 tells us, and they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Now there's a reason they did this. They were afraid that they were going to be thrown out of the synagogue. But I tell you what, sometimes being thrown out of a religious institution is the best thing that could ever happen to you. And if you had the guts to go to a synagogue today, or perhaps a mosque, and preach that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the light of the world, the anointed one, the Messiah, you would be thrown out very quickly. So these parents of this man, they were afraid. They did not want to be thrown out. They wanted their religion. And some people are like that. They like their religion. It's all they've ever known. It's all they've ever done, all they've ever believed. And they don't even understand the true nature of God, but they have their religion. And these parents were afraid to lose that. And of course we know that religion back here and today also so often is just empty, hollow rituals and words. But they wanted it, and they were afraid to lose it. So they said, he is of age. Let him speak for himself. Verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. Oh. It's almost exasperating. They just couldn't get it. And you know why they couldn't get it? It's because they themselves were blind. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. And you know why people remain spiritually blind? Because they love the darkness rather than the light. And there are a lot of people out there who think they are enlightened. They think they can see. They think they have great understanding and great wisdom. And they're blind as a spiritual bat.
That's why.
In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23, it tells us, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And these Pharisees, they had that darkness. They couldn't see. So, continuing on, it tells us in verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You know what? Giving Jesus the praise, worshiping Jesus is the same thing. Because there is one God, one Savior, and it is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Verse 25 tells us, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So he's telling them simply, I don't know anything about your accusations of him being a sinner. What I do know is that I was blind, and now I can see. Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? They keep asking this over and over again, and finally he gets a little fed up with it. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Why? Because they had no ears to hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Oh, they thought they were special because they thought they were following Moses. But Moses prophesied of Jesus Christ. He told them that a prophet would be raised up like unto him. And that prophet was Jesus Christ. Just as Moses came by God's calling and leading to deliver the people from bondage, Jesus came to deliver us from bondage.
Amen. Absolutely. Praise God.
So they thought, well, we follow Moses. And they thought that that made themselves special. But we know that they were actually children of the devil. We read about that in the previous chapter. Jesus looked right at them and called them and told them, ye are of your father the devil. Which just goes to show, not everyone in this world is of God. Not everyone is of the same father. And you'll get these people who say that sometimes, oh, we're all the children of God. Oh, wait a second. The devil has children. The scriptures tell us that on multiple occasions. And that's something that even Pope Francis can't seem to comprehend. This man who's supposed to be this holy head of the church, he can't comprehend the simplest of scriptures. Isn't that something? But it tells us in verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And isn't that something that Jesus himself pointed out in the previous chapter, that they didn't know from whence he is? And here they're admitting it. Why? Because they were blind. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. And you'll notice here that as this man speaks, his clarity and understanding of Jesus Christ just continues to grow. He starts to see things spiritually. His physical blindness had been healed, but spiritual blindness was also healed. And he started to comprehend things about Jesus Christ. So he tells them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. I just love the way that's worded. That ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing.
That's right.
In fact, it was Jesus Christ himself who said, without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Again, they must have believed that this man or his parents had committed some evil deed for him to be born blind. They were very judgmental, weren't they? Not every illness is caused by a sin. Listen, we live in a fallen world. People get sick all the time. There are so many diseases, so many things that can harm people. It's not always specifically because of a sin. You know, diabetes is very common in the world today, and that's not necessarily because of a sin, but maybe perhaps people ate a little too much sugar. It's not because they went out and did some horrible, awful thing. Sometimes people get sick. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do, but not necessarily things that are a sin. But here we see they must have thought that his parents did something. Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. In other words, they're saying, who do you think you are? They threw him out of the synagogue. Praise God. You know, that's exactly what he needed. You'll notice that after they threw him out, after he was gone from that place, after his membership was revoked, Jesus came back to him. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You know, this was a very rare thing. You don't see this a lot. We do see a lot of times Jesus being questioned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, asking for signs, asking for proof of who he is. But he just comes right out and tells this man, I am the Son of God. Because he could see this man's faith, and he knew this man would believe it. That didn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. But it did happen in Samaria. Yes, when he met that woman at the well, he told her and the other Samaritans that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He just came right out and told them. Mm-hmm. That's not something he told the scribes and the Pharisees, because he knew they wouldn't believe it. He knew they didn't have ears to hear it. But this man, he asked, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. No hesitation on his part. He believed. And he worshipped Jesus immediately. There's nothing wrong with worshiping Jesus. In fact, we all need to worship Jesus. It's something that every Christian does.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you know what? We don't worship any other gods. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to so-called saints. We don't pray to Mary, the supposed mother of God, as the Catholics like to call her. But isn't that something they call Mary the mother of God? If that were the case, wouldn't that make Mary more powerful than God, because she would be his mother? But we know that Mary is not the mother of God. We know that Mary needed a Savior. We know that she was the mother of the flesh of God, and there is a drastic difference there. But we don't pray to Mary. And anybody who tries that, I've got to tell you, you are wasting your time. But you don't. You look at all of these ancient religions, these pagan religions, and they always had a mother goddess. Sometimes they called it Ishtar, or Semiramis, or whatever the case may be, or Diana of the Ephesians. They all had these mother goddesses, and you know what? The Catholics call Mary Queen of Heaven sometimes, and there are people today, witches, who still worship the Queen of Heaven. Mary worship is witchcraft. But it's never wrong to worship Jesus Christ. It's something we all need to do, something we all should do, for he is our Savior. And verse 39 tells us, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. You know, you have a situation here where there were men and women too, I'm sure, religious people who thought they could see and they couldn't. They were completely blind. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't help but think back to when I was a teenager and I got my first pair of glasses. And it was amazing when I put them on for the first time. I could see so much. I didn't even know how bad my vision was until I put on those glasses. And it's the same way with people spiritually. You don't even know how bad your vision was until Jesus Christ makes you see. But there are people who think they can see and they can't. These Pharisees thought they could see and they couldn't. Verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. They thought they could see, but they couldn't. And they had great sins, many sins. And they rejected the one who could take those sins away, which is a very sad thing. But we see here, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer, He can open blind eyes. And not just physical blindness, but He can give us spiritual eyes to see as well. And this certainly was not the first time that He had healed a man of blindness. In fact, there was at one point, John the Baptist sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Savior, the Messiah. In fact, in Luke chapter 7, verses 20 through 22, it tells us, When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. Oh yes, he did many miracles, including the healing of blindness, and it wasn't just a few people. It tells us that he healed many that were blind. Many. And there are numerous stories in the Gospels of blind men who were healed. Let's go to Mark chapter 8 for a moment. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we're going down to verse 22. In verse 22 it tells us, And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him, If he saw aught. Again, we see God using his spit to open the blind eyes. And this is interesting too. When you look at this, we see that he took this man by the hand and he led him out of the town. Why did he do that? Because he was taking this man out to a place where an environment of faith could work. If you are in an environment of doubt, you are not going to receive healing. You need to be in an environment of faith. So he took this man outside the city where none of those doubters and non-believers were around. And he used his spit again. So he asked him after using his spit the first time if he could see anything. Verse 24 tells us, And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Which was an improvement, but his vision was still blurry. Verse 25, After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Praise God. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. They weren't going to hear it anyway. They weren't going to believe on the Lord Jesus. He brought that man out of that environment of doubt so that he could be healed. And when you come out of that environment of doubt, you are ready to receive that healing from the Savior. But there's another story. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and this is going to tell us the story of a man named Bartimaeus. This is unusual because it actually gives us the name of one of the peoples that Jesus healed. And what this tells me is that this man went on to serve the Lord, and that the author of this book, Mark, probably knew this man. He knew his name. So he was likely known amongst the brethren in the churches. Mark 10, verse 46 tells us, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now there's something I want to point out about this story. People like to say that the Bible is contradictory because if you read Matthew, it says there were two men at Jericho who were healed by Jesus Christ. But just because Mark doesn't mention two men doesn't mean that there weren't two men there. You understand? Therefore, it's not a contradiction. And something else I would like to point out is that there were actually three men who were healed by Jesus at Jericho of blindness. I know that because if you read in Luke, it talks about a man who was healed by Jesus of blindness as Jesus was leaving Jericho. Now, people read that sometimes and they think, well, it must be the same story and it's a contradiction. No, I think what that means is that the man heard about what Jesus had done for the two men as he was entering Jericho, and so, as Jesus was leaving Jericho, he cried out to Jesus, hoping for the same thing. I believe there were three men at Jericho who were healed of blindness, but there's one that we specifically know by name. And that's good. You know, all of the Gospels, each of the Gospels, tell stories in a slightly different way, which means you have to read all of them. And that's a good thing. Verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" You know, if you want mercy, that's how you get it. Cry out to Jesus. Verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" You know what? If anyone ever hears you crying out to God and tells you to shut up, just do it louder. Just do it all the more. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't worship God and cry out to God. It's never the inappropriate thing to do. But they tried to shut this man up, it didn't work. He just cried out all the louder. Verse 49 tells us, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.'" Isn't that something? First of all, they were telling him to shut up. And now, Jesus called to him and said, "Oh, look at this, be of good comfort, he's calling you." Well, that wouldn't have happened if he wasn't crying out to Jesus. If he had listened to them, he wouldn't have received this miracle that he was about to receive. And verse 50 tells us, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." Now that's significant too, because this man, he was poor. He was a beggar. He had nothing, most likely. In fact, the clothes on his back may have been all that he had. And he was willing to give up everything he had to go to Jesus, to receive a miracle from Jesus. When you are a poor beggar, when you have nothing, casting away your garment is a very significant thing to do. And when you give Jesus your all, that's when you receive miracles.
Right.
When you give up everything for him, when you surrender all. So he cast away his garment. And verse 51 tells us, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?'" Isn't that something? Can you imagine Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, Creator of the universe, asking that? "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There's only one way that we can receive our sight. And that sight comes from the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Yes, he came to heal the blind. And he healed many blind people throughout his ministry of both kinds of blindness, physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And he can still heal us of spiritual blindness today. Only he can give us our sight. Only he can give us understanding and discernment, ears to hear and sight to see. So let us seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's cry out to him, because he's the only one who can give us that gift of sight. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy promises. We know, O God, that thou art our miraculous Savior, the light of the world. And we pray, O God, that thy light would shine in our hearts. We pray, O God, for thy understanding to be upon us. We pray for thy gift of the Holy Ghost to be upon each and every one of us, that we could see spiritually, that we could hear spiritually. We pray, O God, that we would walk with thee each and every day. We pray that we would be led by thee. We pray that we would follow thee each and every day for the entirety of our lives. We ask for thy blessing. We ask for thy perfect will to be done. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we are going to sing a chorus in closing. And we are turning to number 157 in the chorus book. Open our eyes, Lord. Number 157.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. To see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love.
Thank you. Lord.